Maybe. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the sixth annual Christmas special of Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it's cold but beautiful. And we're so glad to have everyone here. First of all, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm cold and it's very windy in Springdale, Arkansas tonight. The wind gusts are about 45 to 60 miles an hour, and the temperature dropped. I mean, it was in the 60s today, and now we're like in the 30s. So we had a cold front move in. No snow, but it's just cold and windy. But other than that,
well,
I'm good.
You're not
we're
in Kansas
glad to have
anymore.
You here.
That's right, Toto.
And,
definitely, I'm not.
And
I haven't been in Kansas since 1988, Velvet.
No, you were there this year because
okay.
You got COVID.
Well, I went for Thanksgiving, I moved away from Kansas in 1988. You know, I moved away from Kansas in 1988.
Brother.
So.
All right, and Todd, our eye in the sky from Indianapolis, who's actually in Jacksonville. How are you doing tonight, Todd?
I am outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here, people. And we got those wind warnings coming for tomorrow, and I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to get out and go fishing in the morning. Just saying.
Well,
let's get
well, we are glad
fly,
you're
baby.
Here.
Like Mary Poppins.
And, and Tim, our true eye in the sky from Indianapolis. How are you doing tonight, Tim?
Good evening, everyone. I'm doing awesome. And, Granny, we got the same stuff going on here. I think the actual cold blast is going to hit us tomorrow. We're still sitting in the mid-40s. I think we topped 50 today. But I'm cozy inside by the Christmas tree. I got cocktail in hand and ready for an awesome show.
Awesome. Well, that's good.
I got the Burl Ives music.
And the amazing Velvet. Velvet, where are you amazing?
I'm amazing everywhere. Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
And the man that keeps talking, our guest for tonight, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing tonight, buddy? We're so glad to have you here.
Hey, Don Nichols is not around anymore, so I'm picking up the mantle. So I'm the next Mr.
I like it.
All right, well, we're glad you're
monkey,
here.
Baby.
Yeah, if you will, baby.
If you will, baby.
If you will, baby. Now I'm going to tell you what. I am going to call
my
on you,
jingle
Papa
bells
Stro.
Be jingling, baby. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, can Papa Stro, can you do us a Dusty Rhodes greeting from beyond for the one and only Pop Culture Stars, because you're here and you're the best at doing Dusty Rhodes. Can you do us a Dusty Rhodes imitation?
If a Dusty was here, he'd tell you, "What the hell wrong with you? You cuckoo baby."
I'm not cuckoo baby. I'm just calling on you. All right. Well, look, we love having you here.
You know, thanks. I've always respected everyone. I've even respected that banana nose Ric Flair. But I've always hated you, Dusty Rhodes, you big fat whale. That's Terry Funk, by the way.
Terry Funk.
Terry Funk.
That
is Terry. All right, Terry. Heck with you. We love Dusty Rhodes, the
Bob,
the man. So anyway, Papa Stro.
Well, I'm right here.
Thanks for being with us tonight. And we're going to have a great time. And I'm going to start the
got my Slim Jims and Diet Cheer Wine. I'm ready to roll, baby.
You got Diet Cheer Wine? Well, I've got Diet
yes,
Sunkiss. My orange
baby. Hey, don't tell Gal with that.
He got the Sunkiss baby. Look out now.
Well, we're just so glad you're here. And tell us, what have you been doing? Because I know even with COVID, you've been doing a lot of great things. You were at the Charlotte Comic Con. You've been doing a bunch of stuff. So tell us, what have you been doing, Papa Stro?
Well, first, I woke up in the morning.
And okay, I saw the sun come out, and I knew it was going to be a good day. So, but no, seriously, I've just been doing all I can, like everybody else, you know. It's been a crazy year, like everybody knows, but just doing all I can to my end, and you know, staying safe and healthy, like you know, like everybody else, and just doing what the good Lord wants me to do, entertain.
Well, that's good. Well, you better, because you are such an entertainer, and we really appreciate that. All right. Well, I'm gonna call on everybody in order of them showing up to ask you a question until we're done with the questions. Granny Hope.
Is this going to be like a Dean Martin roast? I can't wait.
It's going to be like a something, I'll tell you that. So,
can't
Granny
wait,
Hulkster, what have you got to ask the one and only Papa Stroke? Because you always have a good question.
Well, my goodness. Yeah, put me on the spot, Dr. John. Thank you very much.
That's right.
You better believe you're on the
That's
spot.
That's right.
I'm the queen of pop culture stars. Don't forget that, you know. So.
Wow. I'm honored.
That's what Dr. John says I am. I'm the queen
That's
of
exactly
pop culture stars. So.
She is the queen.
Oh,
we're glad to have her.
Okay.
Even though
Doug
gets a little upset sometimes.
She's
the
queen.
To
be. Gloria. Okay, Stro.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
You shared some awesome and amazing stories the other night with your interview with Stevie Ray.
It's crazy.
And I know you didn't get to cover.
Was,
I know you did not get to cover everything that I'm sure Stevie wanted to cover. Just share with us and the listeners, you know, a couple of your favorite stories that maybe you didn't get to share on your interview with Stevie Ray the other night.
Oh, man, you know, I had such a great time with Stevie Ray. It was great catching up on. I used to hang out with him and Booker T a lot during my time at WCW, and it was never a dull moment. It was always so cool. One story that could pop in my head was one time I was coming out of catering, right? And there was a fight that broke out. Two of the guys were going at it, and they broke up. I mean, it didn't last very long. Matter of fact, Ming and Haku were over there just laughing about drinking coffee. But Fit Finley, you know, and Dean and I were like, what's going on, right? And here comes Stevie Ray. And I was like, Stevie, he's like coming over here laughing. Like, Stevie, man, what's happening, you know? And he said, let me tell y'all something. Even that mess was scripted, are those two of the most non-fighting white boys I've ever seen in my life. And Dean Malenko was like, he never like shows emotion, but man, he's like tripping. Listen to Stevie Ray, and he gets the play-by-play what happened. He said, first, one guy lip-slapped. The other one took a bump on the floor. I don't know about you, but anybody slapped me and I hit the floor, that's embarrassing stuff. I'm going to go back in the shower and call it a night. And then one waist-locked the other, and the other one was lip-wristing him on the back, like, in the back. I'm like dying, you know? And Bobby Heenan was picking up money off the floor. And like, Bobby, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm picking up loose change. I just got a raise tonight. The fight can be better one out in the arena. Oh, my God. That was great. But Stevie Ray's awesome. I love Stevie Ray.
Yeah, he is. Pretty amazing.
Really is. So. All right, thanks. That was a great question. Todd. What question do you have for the one, the only Papa Stro Maestro?
My son.
Man, the,
my son.
Man,
my
it's been a while, but I've been able to. I tell you, I got to know, on Christmas Eve, are you holding your Mighty podcast?
I sure am, sir. We're having the Christmas special for WCW Retro. Everyone's invited. Even the ones that should bring the ice for the rest of us. So,
nice.
It's gonna be a good time. I can't wait.
That's awesome. Aren't you? It wouldn't mind terribly, sir. Please go ahead and remind everyone how they can reach the show.
Okay, WCW Christmas special for everyone. and I mean everyone, this Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. And come one, come on, as long as you're properly retired.
No,
it's all good.
All right. Well, that sounds great. That sounds like a lot of fun. You better believe
so. You bring your cryptids over, like Bigfoot and Lizzie Liz and Furry Man and all your friends.
I'm going to bring Lizzie Man for sure. Don't you worry about that.
Can bring Anna Nicole. It's Bigfoot, too. It'd be great. It'd be a good time.
Can I bring Anna Nicole? I'd love to.
Yeah. They can tell her about our Oscar winning performances. Be great. Come all.
Awesome.
Are we there?
Yep, we're here. I'm here.
Okay, cool.
I'm
got all quiet, man. It's like tumbleweed.
Yeah, everybody got quiet all of a sudden.
It doesn't happen often on this show.
No, man. Must be some orbs in the air. Orbs. Caspers.
Did we lose
Dr. John disappeared. You know how
that works. Yep, sounded like he lost. He might be working on some technical issues. So do we know who's next in queue? Well, Diamond Dave, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, the show must go on. Yes, go ahead.
Diamond Dave.
Oh, what is good? I got here fashionably late at about 9:02, so I was crashing the doors, getting on the air. So,
Dave,
bro,
long time.
It's damn sure good to hear your voice, Daddy-O. Good to have you back.
Same here, brother.
You need to do this more often.
I really do.
Yeah,
miss you all.
And I realize not everybody can be Dr. John to do like 14 podcasts a day. But nevertheless,
God, that's all I can do to have one.
You ain't alone. This one for crying loud. Hell, I can't even make it for the one I do, you know. But, and, you know, I'm my own worst enemy because you've got to grab 3 beers, a cigar, your can speaker, your lighter, your cutter. You know, there's a lot of, you know, equipment that goes along with doing this podcast. So,
I hear you, man. I've done good not drinking for a while, but man, after this year, I was really close. So.
Man, I tell you what,
I hear you, brother.
It's not so much alcohol as it is attitude improver. So,
right.
You know, world's a better place when I'm inebriated. So, but yeah, it is.
I've always wanted
good.
The split malt liquor bowl to come through the wall, though. I thought that'd be kind of cool, but never did for me.
That would be cool.
So, because I was running late, and I come through that door like a charging bull. I was like, got $3 behind me, and I'm getting the hell out of the way. I gotta do the show. Boom. But, and hopefully your mom and the family are doing well, despite all the monkey business going on in the world and everything. I hope they're holding up.
Oh, yeah,
everything.
Just blessed to have, you know, friends and family and, you know, just have all of us here together, you know.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, it's good to hear you. So. Here's my wrestling question for you. It's kind of a two-sided thing. First thing off, when you were wrestling, and you heard about the passing of Kevin Green, of course.
Sorry to hear that, man. He's a good dude.
Over the years, wrestling's had people come in from different sports. You know, we had Otis Sistrunk, we had Steve McMichael, we had Kevin Green, of course. I think even old Joe Klecko and Abdul Salam from the Jets, the old New York Jets, had their hands at it. And there was even Brock Lesnar, for crying out loud. He's been all over the place. But how tough was it wrestling these athletes versus wrestling people that were wrestlers? You know, did you find them being a little stiffer than usual, or were they, you know, easier to train, or did they carry the, you know, did they not have bad habits, so to speak, as other wrestlers? And then on the back up from that question, if you would rehash that story about Terry Funk and the dead chicken he gave that kid, that's got to be one of the best stories.
That's awesome. That question reminds me of the test run he took in Back to School, where the professor said, I just have one question and 27 pots. Okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah. With the first question about athletes, motorsports, breaking into wrestling, you know, people like that I've worked with, got in the ring with and all that, you see, I kind of halfway know where they're coming from, being that I came from the amateur wrestling world, more or less, and I had to really adjust what I did to progress into pro wrestling. Little things like stances, lockups, that sort of thing, and being stiff and snug in the ring never really bothered me, because just the way I was trained, like I was trained old school, and a lot of the old school people, you know, they were really snug back in the day and everything. So I mean, I could identify with them in their transition to pro wrestling, more or less, because I mean, I wasn't the lightest guy in the world when I started. Good Lord. I was a snug fella, so I could appreciate, you know, but it never bothered me, you know what I mean, guys and gals in the ring with me that were snug. You know, I appreciated the fact that they were, because you felt like you were an actual competition, more or less. So, and us being from the old school, you know, we appreciate that, because we want to feel like we're in a match, you know what I'm saying? We're a competitive type deal, so... And the fact that they're coming from one sport to the other, they already have that competitive nature about them. So I've always appreciated and respected one's transition from one sport to the other. Just like, for example, Kurt Angle winning the gold medal and progressing from one of the greatest Olympic athletes of all time to professional wrestling. And now he's, you know, Hall of Fame and everything, and tremendous. And you got Ronda Rousey, who was Olympic judo one point, and then she broke in a UFC champ, and now, you know, she's gotten the world of professional wrestling. I mean, two examples of two greats in the business. And you mentioned Brock Lesnar earlier, who's people still realize what an amazing athlete he is. I mean, even though he didn't, like, go full-time with football, the fact that he went transitioned from wrestling to pro football – to UFC, back to wrestling, back to UFC, back to wrestling. It's amazing.
Right.
That's something you just don't see every day, right? So, I mean, I've always had personally wrestling with them and working with people like that, I've always had a deep respect for that. And for the second question, the Terry Funk story, is this the one with the chicken?
Yes, the dead chicken.
Okay, all right.
Oh, we have to hear the chicken.
Okay. This was this took place right before WCW Super Brawl in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. And earlier in the day, we were doing promos to hype up for the event that night. And I was getting ready to hype up the deal I was going to do with Ernest Cat Miller and James Brown. And before my promo was the one Terry Funk, alongside Dustin Rhodes, was going to do about his match with Ric Flair that night. Or Terry, Uncle Terry, which I always call him Uncle Terry, because I told him one day a long time ago that I was going to adopt him as my uncle. And ever since then, it was Uncle Terry ever since. But he had a trash bag in his hand. He's going to use it for the promo. And everybody kept telling Terry, what's in the trash bag, right? And he kept telling everybody the same response. It was like, I'm saving it for the interview, right? So the camera starts, right? He reaches in his trash bag, pulls out this rancid dead chicken, feathers falling off of it right and left. He somehow, I don't know how he got the darn thing on the plane from his ranch in Texas, but he has this chicken against the camera, and he's saying, you see this chicken? I shall now compare its anatomy to that of one Ric Flair. See these skinny legs? These are the legs of Ric Flair. See this beak? Talking about his nose, right? This is the snout of Ric Flair. And I'm going to take Ric Flair by the neck. And he's grabbing the chicken as he's saying this, right? And I'm going to whip him
like the dog that he is. He's beating the chicken on the ground, feathers flying everywhere. Dustin takes a bump laughing. I spit up my water bottle. The whole building is like howling laughing at this point, right? Can't contain it. Later on that night, I got back to the hotel. They put us at a nice hotel after the pay-per-view. And the bellboy that was going around taking the luggage to bring back the hotel, he was running around the parking lot, lost, had the same trash bag that Uncle Terry had earlier in the evening. So I was curious, right? So I walked over to him and said, hey, are you right? What's wrong? And the kid says, some old man gave me this dead chicken, and I don't know what to do with it. It was Terry.
Of course.
Not too much.
True story.
That's excellent. I've always been this.
That is one great story about Uncle Terry. Now I tell you what, I got pulled away from another call from somebody else that wants to be interviewed on another show. And now, Amazing Velvet, did you get to ask a question?
I did not.
It's time for you to
right,
ask
Trevor,
a question.
Hot tag.
I thought it was a roast, so, you know, I got to talk about everybody else first, right?
No.
Sitting next to me is Todd. He eats every damn thing in sight and doesn't share. And then he tells us about it.
Oh,
Karen, buddy. And then Tim's already drunk, leaning on the tree, trying to tell us that I'm okay. Dave came late because he was pissing outside on the porch.
It's raining.
You didn't care. You got your vodka and your cigar anyway. Shut up.
Wow.
And poor Granny, she's so mad. She forgot her Moose Lodge convention tonight, so she's stuck on this damn show.
No, wait. Hey, my Moose Lodge convention isn't till February, Velvet.
Okay.
And we already had our second meeting of the month on Sunday, so I'm good.
Okay.
I don't have no Moose Lodge meeting until on Thursdays
good. As long as you go at the Flintstones and the Rubbles, it's okay.
Whatever.
That's right. And Dr. John, don't think you're not safe. You know, Dr. John had to make a call on his computer because he couldn't find his daggone phone because it fell out of the car, under the car, and he couldn't find it for hours.
Now be nice, Velvet. Yes.
Todd, later on.
I didn't say anything. I just said you
dropped
it.
Got to tell Granny the joke you told in the room last night. Remember the joke you told in the room?
I'm going to go there. We all know Granny had a bout of the COVID. She tested positive, and despite what she says about testing negative, it seems she clearly did have one of the symptoms. We know her taste was affected. She clearly has no taste whatsoever. She called into this show.
Brady didn't catch on at first, and then he finally caught on, and Stroh's just laughing his head
he
off about
slow.
The whole thing.
I was dying.
Now I get to ask my question. All right.
Yes, you do.
All right. out of everybody and every place that you work, there had to have been one guy that you missed, not either working with or working against. Who would that somebody be? Who is the one guy that everywhere you've been that you cross paths, but you never got in the ring as together or against one another?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Because, you know, I
gosh, you know, I've
I mean, I'm sure there's more than one, but I'm just saying, but
right.
You got to come up with somebody who's good, though.
That I've never been in the ring with, right?
Right.
Okay. Oh gosh. I would have to say a lot of the commentary people, honestly, like Bobby Heenan and Gene Okerlund, Jesse Ventura. Yeah, man. Tony Schiavone and Bob Caudill, of course. Earlier in my career, we used to travel together to Smoky Mountain wrestling shows. And anybody that doesn't know Bob Caudill, he one of the most popular commentators back in the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling days, back in the day for the NWA.
Nice.
But, yeah, I had a great time with the commentators and the referees. Brian Hildebrand, God rest his soul. Tommy Young, we've always been good friends. A lot of cool, funny Tommy Young stories for sure, right?
Funny though.
Right.
give us a Tommy Young story, because we love Tommy Young.
Oh, well, okay. Starcade, Nikita Koloff versus Ric Flair for the world title. See, and Tommy Young was tight with Rick, because Rick would always request Tommy Young to referee his matches back during that time, right? Because Tommy's one of the best. And they're having the match, right? And Ric Flair went to give Nikita one of those suplexes, right? And when he landed, when they hit, Nikita had like a wardrobe malfunction, right?
No. Wardrobe malfunction? Discuss that.
And Tommy Young was nice enough to correct the problem before the cameras got on him. To straighten his outfit back up.
Right.
So, yeah. But,
Tommy.
So yeah, Tommy was like that, man. Tommy was always on the ball. I mean, anytime anybody would make a cover, I mean, Tommy was
no
like right there. I mean,
y'all.
He was like, yeah, he was right there. The baseball slide there for the cover, you know what I mean, and all that.
Oh,
but
he was great.
Tommy would look out. He was one of those veteran referees that would really look out for everyone, and he was involved with them during the matches. So I mean. In a nutshell. So, I mean, Tommy was great, and Nick Patrick was really good with me in WCW. Little Nate, Charles Robinson, who still referees for WWE. He's always a great guy. So
nice.
Yeah, most of the commentators and the referees were really cool to hang out with, and I'd hang out with some of the production crew and all that, and see some of the local promoters that would work with, and like Ellie Murnick from out Midwest and different people, so... It was always a good time.
Hey, may I throw something in here? I know one of the commentators you actually did, a guy that did a lot of commentating, you spent a lot of time with, and that's Jerry the King Lawler.
Oh, yeah. I love the King, man. King was great. And if he had a bad match with the King, man, something was wrong with the universe.
Right.
I mean, he was amazing. Being the matches with him in the Mid-South Coliseum, I had chill bumps because you go to different places like Mid-South Coliseum and think it's like the who's been there, just like Madison Square Garden and the Kiel Auditorium and in different places throughout the country and overseas, that you know that the greats have been there, you know what I mean? So just when you're in buildings like that, that gives you that vibe, you just get chill bumps thinking about the many greats that have done their thing. And Jerry the King Lawler, man. I mean, he's like into Memphis wrestling. I mean, he's like Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock. I mean, all rolled up in one. I mean, he's the man, basically. So I think it was an honor to get to know him, spend time with him, learn from him. Guys like him, Superstar Bill Dundee, Tommy Rich, and all the greats in the Memphis area, man. It was a good time.
Now, I'm going to ask you about Tommy Rich, but I want to make sure that Tim, did you get to ask Papa Stro a question?
I did not. Not yet.
Well, it's time for you to ask, and then Papa Stro, I'm going to ask you a Tommy Rich question, because Tommy is truly one of my favorites, other than you. Okay, all right, Tim, what do you want to know from Papa Stro?
It's about time they let me talk. I'm going to fall into this Christmas tree, my drunk asshole.
Nice.
Nice comeback.
Hey, you're my thunder, man.
First and foremost, Papa Stro, I'll go ahead and introduce myself, Tim Armstrong. And I joined, my first time on the podcast was about 9 months ago or so. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to have them just have me kind of call in as a co-host each week. So here I am and have a lot of fun every show that we have. So with that being said, in the holiday time, usually I try to prepare, do a little bit of research, and come up with a couple of fascinating questions. And I was not able to do any homework today. I've been out trying to do some last-minute Christmas shopping and wrapping some presents and whatnot. But I thought that what I would do is just ask you a couple of the and another thing I wanted to point out is I have the least amount of knowledge of wrestling. Okay, you can ask anybody on this show that. I'm one of the ones who my knowledge of wrestling, one of the reasons why I love calling in is because of hearing stories from everyone. So I thought,
but don't worry,
you're
not missing much. I'm just kidding.
I thought I could just ask you a couple of highlights from your career. Maybe what got you into wrestling, or maybe one of your proudest moments. Just something that really, maybe the fans sparked your eye at one point in time. But I thought maybe just hearing a couple of highlights would be pretty cool.
Oh, man, there's so many, so many avenues that brought me to pro wrestling. I'll tell you one story here, one of the many. When I was younger, I would stop at the convenience store, right? And it turned out Ric Flair and Blackjack Mulligan were pulling in too, right? And they were getting their drinks to go to the next town, right? He just had a wrestling show and they were kind of like worse for wear, and they were kind of tired. And so I was nice enough to help them carry their drinks to their car so they can, get on to the next town, right? Well, years later, being in the business, when I bumped into Ric Flair and Blackjack Mulligan, they actually remembered that night that I helped them with the drinks to their car. And then after the show, they actually took me out for drinks later on that night. So, I mean, I just thought that was pretty so surreal.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
And I don't know, some of you heard this story. Others of you probably haven't, but I used to go to the, when I was younger, I used to go to the shows down in the Florida area, Florida Championship Wrestling. I had an aunt and uncle lived out there in Tampa. And one of the shows I went to see, some of the guys that I like to go see were like Steve Kern, Mike Graham, of course, Blackjack, Barry Windham, Dusty Rhodes. Well, Andre the Giant was pulling up in the parking lot, right? And to this day, I swear, Andre is like the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I've seen a lot of big guys, but nobody like Andre, right? His head was poking above the car roof as he's parking the car. And he just got upset being the Bionic Sasquatch for the $6 million man series, Lee Majors, right? Which I got to actually tell Lee Majors the story, right? He loves it. Well, he's coming out of the car, coming towards me. And for the first time in my life, I was younger then, but the first time in my life, I felt like I was that much low in the food chain. I really thought he was going to come and eat me, right? I was so scared I couldn't move. And Dusty Rhodes comes over. And at the time, I thought he saved my life. But he was just kind of breaking the ice with myself and Andre. I said, "Hey, kid, don't worry about a thing. Andre is cool. Say hello to him, Andre, baby." And Andre sticks his hand down, his massive bouldering hand down to me and says, "How do you do?" Right? And I went to stick his hand. My hand disappears, literally, right? And I look it up at him, and I'm like, "Fine, sir. How are you?" Right? And he's actually a really nice guy, right? But, man, I've never seen nobody as big as Andre, man. Andre was just, to this day, the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
That's pretty cool.
that's always been one of my favorite stories about Andre, was when he toured in Japan, that the toilets were so small in Japan that he couldn't use them, so he would take a dump in the bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, I would imagine a standard American-sized toilet video would be tough for him. And then he goes over there in Japan, and, it's, you know, if you've ever been over there, you know it's kind of like pooping in a basin. And, yeah, I can only imagine. So here he is.
In Korea, it's worse.
Yeah. And you also got to have good knees. But, yeah, the thought of him hanging it over the bathtub and pulling it loose, those housekeepers had to, have their hands full with him in the building.
More than their hands, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, this is Dr. John and Papa Stro. I've got
a question
for you. Hey, it's always good to have you here. I want to ask you a question. Tell us your best Tommy Rich story, because I love Tommy Rich. I really do. I get to talk to him about once a month. About once a month he answers the phone, and he's always doing something, but he does talk to me for a minute and everything. What is your favorite Tommy Rich story? Because we love Tommy Rich, Tommy Wildfire Rich. So what is your favorite Tommy Wildfire Rich story?
Oh, my God. I got so many Tommy Rich stories. I mean, he's probably one of my favorite tag team partners ever.
Tell two of them.
Oh, my goodness. See, we're during my time in Memphis, Tommy Rich, Doug Gilbert, and I were kind of like the free birds at that time. We were a few with PG-13 for the tag team titles. And, you know, we had matches with Lawler and Christopher and different people, tag teams that come along. And our feud with PG-13 was probably the most infamous at the time, because we had hair versus hair, street fights, mama versus mama matches. I mean, it was crazy. And Tommy was the creative mastermind. He was the one coming up with all these ideas for matches, right? I mean, and it's funny because the more silly you get Tommy going, the more creative he becomes, and it becomes hits, right? He's just amazing. One time, there was one of our trips, right? We're going to see his going to stop his grandma's house in Nashville, right?
Okay.
And I decided I would let him drive, right? And boy, that was a mistake. Because oh my goodness, we got pulled over, right? And the police officer looks at Tommy and he says, he wanted a Mr. Rich, I'd like for you to walk through this here white line to see how much alcohol consumption you take in your system. And he looks down, he peeks his head, he looks down at the white line of the road, he looks up at the officer.
Read the top line for the blue line.
Oh, I'm sorry, officer. I thought that looked like
and the caption is what they're talking about me on TV.
I thought that white line looked like sugar.
I'm like, and like, oh my God! I had my wrists out. I knew the officer was going to like get ticked off at us, right? No joke. The police officer looks at Tommy in pure shock. Just walks back to his car and takes off. And then and Tommy looks back at me and says,
"What was his problem?"
But that's it, Tommy. Let me drive you home.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Papa Stro, you know what? Being a Christmas show, I know you got a Christmas story about getting pulled over.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Well, to wrap up with Tommy, man, Tommy really helped me out a lot in Memphis. He all gave me really good advice, and he was very helpful for everybody there. Him, PG-13, Doug Gilbert. I mean, I love those guys, and we had the best times there. We really did, and we're still friends to this day. But for the Santa story, oh my God, man.
This
yeah,
is like all time
Santa
great.
Claus.
Tim, I know Tim has never heard this one, Papa Stroh, so this is he's got
okay.
brand new ears.
Yep. Well, I'm coming back from this Christmas party wrestling show, right? As you can imagine. I'm dressed as Santa Claus. I got the toys, which I used to do that for Canada. Go to Canada, play Santa for the kids every year. And I had the midget wrestlers in the front seat, actually. They're all, like, driving, and I'm in the back seat, right? And, well, the lights come on behind us, right, in this police car, right? And they're speeding and stuff, and they're pulling over to the side of the road, and they're, like, huddling up, coming up with a game plan, right? And the huddle, kind of like, you know, a football team would. And this officer comes out, comes towards us. They come running out of the car, grabbing their butts, yelling, fire ants, right? And he's like, you know, the officer's freaking out, like, what's going on here, right? And while he's watching the elves, I'm still in the back seat with the bag of toys, right, from the party, dressed as Santa. So I get out of the car. I was like, it's a problem, officer, right? He turns around, looks at me, stares at me for like a minute, and he says, Santa? And then my brain, I'm like, oh, I got to work this, baby. So I, yes, it is I, Santa, young man, ho, ho, ho. And what would you like for Christmas? And he said he wanted a transistor radio for his little son, right? And it just so happened I had one of those in a bag of toys from the party. So I gave him the radio and says, here you go. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, right? And the officer was like, oh, thank you, Santa. Thank you, Santa. Tipping him down like a kid, right? And he takes off in the squad car, wishes me a Merry Christmas, and takes off. And then the elves just looks at me like in shock, like what just happened, you know? And I'm still, you know, doing the Santa gimmick, and I was like, you know, come on, little ones, let Santa take you back to the North Pole, right? So I end up driving them back home.
Nice. Did you say they got out of the car, or they were still in the car?
No, they got out of the car, jumping up and down, holding their butts, yelling fire ants.
That's what I thought about that.
It was hysterical.
That's like out of the movie Tommy Boy. Aren't they the ones who jump out and go, killer bees?
It was just like that thing. I swear it was just like that thing from Tommy Boy. Yes. It sure was. Oh, my God, yes.
You know, what we need to do is rehash the story, Stro, of the con we did in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Todd's heard a story, and of course John, he was right there for everything when it happened. But God, it was one of those nights where just everything, it could have made a movie out of that evening, right? And me and Stro met at the Walmart here because Stro was doing the stuff the bus thing for school supplies, right?
Yes.
So,
oh yeah,
Will Williams joined us, our old buddy, and so here you are. You know, you got the three of us out there, and you know, Stroh, of course, you can't touch the guy when it comes down to that kind of stuff. I mean, he's just eats it up. I mean, going wide open, you know. So, me and Knucklehead said, you know, we're standing up against the wall and said, hey, you know, he's doing all the damn work. Let's go ahead and go at it, you know. So the plan was to drive back to the house and pick up my books and all my stuff, and then we were going to hump to Wilmington. So Joe, of course, at the time, was traveling the roads, and he was living out of his car. So when he pulled his car up in front of the house, I looked inside the car, and I said, brother, I don't even know if I can get in the damn thing.
There's a jungle in there.
I mean, he's got it all in there, right? So Will pulls up. We throw all my stuff in the back of Will's car, and we start heading to Wilmington. So we're supposed to meet the whole crew down there at this place. I can't remember the name of it. But Greg Bill Watson, all of us, we were going down there to meet. So and the weather was horrible. I got to hand it to Stro. He hung in there because, I mean, the rain was coming down, and we were driving the back roads and everything. And we get to this place. We get in there, get a beer and everything, and here comes Greg Bo. And at the time, his son wasn't 18. So when he walked in there, they said, he can't be in here because he's not 18. So we said, well, damn. So all of us had to leave, right? So we go heading back, and we go into Wilmington to go to the hotel. So when we pull up to the hotel, the housekeeping crew was up there cleaning one of the rooms, and Stroh says, kind of late for hospitality to be out, isn't it? And I says, no, nah, man, I think that's the forensic team.
Wow.
And we get in there and get all squared away. And I told Stroh, I said, all right, man, I'm going to hit the showers. I'll be back. So I go in the shower. I come back out. And I'll be damned if Stroh doesn't have Dorothy sitting right there in that chair. And I'm thinking, all right, I don't want to offend. I don't want to say anything, but I ain't digging this damn thing staring me in the eyes while I'm in here trying to If I get up in the middle of the night, this thing is moved from the chair to like the in between the beds. I says, this is going to be it. I'm just going to sleep outside the grass, you know. But, oh, God. I mean, that whole night, everything we touched that night just seemed to go to pieces. But the next morning, we went to, got together, and we went to Crystal Coast, or not Crystal Coast, I'm done.
The new?
We went down
to, No, the Cape Fear Comic Con.
Cape Fear, there we go. Thank you. Senior moment. And
you're welcome.
And then,
all right.
Tore the house down that night. So, yeah, that was funnier than hell. I had a blast being on the road with Stroh and everything. And, yeah, just one of those good memories. And I miss the cons, man. I'm hoping things come back around in 2021. And we all know that when Biden gets in the White House, COVID will magically disappear, apparently. And hopefully we get on back on track with that. So,
I can go ahead and tell you that we don't know. I am petrified of announcing a Comic-Con. I really am, because I don't know what's going to happen. But
you're going to be doing it for the Russians, that's why, and the Chinese.
That's right. We'll all be speaking Chinese before it's all over.
Man, I don't know that out here.
And all
I know
say
Tim
is,
has no idea about Dorothy. I know Tim knows nothing about Dorothy. The
she's one of a kind.
Dude, you have no idea. Papa Crow will wield her. I think I go back to the original Bruce and Cogburn movie about the girl. He wields a lawyer dagger like a weapon, and boy, he wields Dorothy like a weapon. I've seen Papa Crow send Dorothy out in her ride out one entrance of the wrestling canoe, and he came out the other because his opponent was so focused on Dorothy. It was awesome. It was awesome. And maybe one of the coolest moments was when my daughter cosplayed Dorothy.
Oh, that was amazing. She looked amazing with that cosplay, man. That was awesome.
My daughter hates Dorothy.
One time, a funny Dorothy story, one of many actually. One time I'm getting dressed for a show, right? And we had this peeping Tom trying to peek at us, trying to change clothes, right? So I happened to have Dorothy next to me, right? So the next time the lady tried to peek in on us, right? And Dorothy popped her head in the window. She fell, took a bump on the ground, started yelling, running away. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
I thought you were going to say it was our fat referee that I fired.
Oh, man. I don't know if I told y'all the story, but one time I'm driving to an event, and this guy pulls in the lane next to me. He looks at my way, and he freaks out, and he pulls over. I'm like, what's wrong with this dude, right? So I pull over up the road, and I check in the back seat to see what's going on. Well, there was Dorothy pressed against the window with her hand like she was waving at the dude. Waving at everybody.
That's great.
I lost it, man. Oh, my God. I was in tears.
Dorothy was in the back window.
She's life of the party, man. Hilarious.
She is the party. What are you talking about?
She really is. I mean, absolutely. And here's what I was going to say to Dave Atwell next week, because I have tried to give Will Williams a couple of calls. We've talked about him. We need to get Willie Williams on next week and see what he's up to out there in California.
Yeah, I talked to him not long ago. New Year's, though. Yeah, it's New Year's Eve next Wednesday, but I'm sure he'll be accessible. He's been and the thing of it is, I mean, that poor guy, he's over there in Los Angeles where the grass don't grow, and God knows what that poor guy's dealing with over there, because California is one of those states that if you ask me, we just need to get all these people together on a bus or maybe some 7 tons and drive them to Oregon, Washington, or California, drop them off, and instead of putting a wall up between here and Mexico, put a wall up between here and the West Coast and just call it like Knucklehead of Sand or something like that. And he's told me on many occasions that he just stays inside a lot of times when he's there, but I'll try to get a hold of him because I miss him, and I hadn't talked to him about a month, so it's
That reminds me of the time we hung out with the Moon Pies, and Will was so freaked out. He's like, "Oh my God, what's that?" I can imagine.
Yeah.
He sees a lot of Moon Pies in California.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Remember the Moon Pies? They were something, man. One guy was howling. Guy was howling. He's actually howling. That was hysterical.
Wow. Well, now, I know that we've got two people that only got one question in, so I want to make sure that Tim and Granny Hulkster get to ask you one more question. Granny Hulkster, do you have another question for the one and only Papa Strobe?
I'm actually good, Dr. John.
Okay. How about you,
Tim? Granny.
You know I love you, Stro. You know I love you. You're one of my best friends, you know. So
I love you too, Granny.
So, man, we got to call Guinness, Granny, and nothing else.
All right, and Tim, do you have another question for Papa Stro?
I've just been enjoying listening to all these stories.
I was going to say, yeah, that's me too. I was going to give you hell because it's like you're asking the one guy who already said I was unprepared for this show. I've been out Christmas shopping and, you know, I've already, you know, drinking half the night. So I didn't have time to prepare much.
This
don't
whiz on the tree this time,
I got bad news for you, Tim. I'm going to call you and yell at you, but it'll be great. But
come in and everybody's asking Waterboy question. Here comes the hillbilly. He's like, "Remember when the wah 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 wah?" Oh yeah, I remember that.
And Waterboy
went on that and run that head now.
The other story.
Yes, sir.
I've enjoyed stories thus far, so just continue on as far as I say.
All right. Velvet, you are as amazing as they get. Velvet, what else do you have to ask Papa Strobe?
Papa Strobe,
if
2021 turns out that we can get back to some normality and we can get our wrestling back and we can actually work work some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to wrestle the Amazing Velvet?
Of course. It'd be an
honor.
It'd be an honor.
Now, see, I am going to have to jump in here because that's one thing I had on the back of my mind, and now I wish I would have freaking asked it, was in the history of wrestling, have you ever wrestled Velvet? That's what I was going to ask, is have you two,
We had tag match together. Remember
the
tag match we had together, Velvet?
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I was hearing.
Well, I can't wait. This is Dr. John, and I'm going to announce
but yeah,
that.
But yeah, it'd be an honor.
Papa
yeah, it'd be an honor, seriously.
That,
I mean, it'd be nice to be in the ring with someone that can actually lock up.
Because we'll do that right before I take all
right.
of y'all out.
You hear what I said? I hear what I said.
Yes.
You hear what I said? You hear what I said? Okay.
Go,
thank
Papa
you.
Stroh.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, before the whole world, like, gangbanged me and threw me over the top rope in the Battle Royal, that, that it'd be nice to get in a ring with someone that can actually lock up and work.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that can do that, but I'm just saying it's an honor. It'd be an honor, really.
Cool. I hope so. That's my plan for 2021, actually.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
hey,
I can't
Tim.
Wait to get back, hang out with you and Tank and everybody, man. I miss you
so
much.
I miss you too, brother.
Hey, Tim.
Yes.
Can I share with Papa Stroh the night when you were saying your wife was like a lot like Sergeant Slaughter? Can I tell him what I said to you?
Oh, you sure can.
Wow.
Okay.
We were talking one night.
And Tim just out of the blue says, well, yeah, my wife, you know, because he said, I'm not very knowledgeable on wrestling, you know, but my wife's a lot like Sergeant Slaughter. And just out of the clear blue, I said, well, we all know who wears the pants in that family. I mean, it was just perfect timing. It was perfect timing.
Right.
It's like there's a song out there. There's a song out there with a lyric or with a line in it that says, I'm the top dog of this house, but I've been neutered.
That's right. Great shooting, baby.
It's like Alma Joy and Mound.
Right.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
That's it, yes.
Sometimes you have some and sometimes you don't. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's funny because, you know what, tonight's, I think, the first night I've heard Velvet not rail about not being the queen of pop culture stars when Grammy claimed the title.
Oh man.
Dr. John gave me that title, and one night Velvet got a little upset about that, but, you know.
You know, Velvet's going to be nice, but you have your moment because it's over in 2021. I'm the new queen, so shut up.
Okay, whatever, dear. Whatever.
Dr. John don't have to give me nothing, honey.
I got to tell you a funny story. It just popped in my head real quick. I used to have this manager manage me on some of these shows out in the Midwest called Classy Rory Bass. And he was like, I swear, he was like a human version of Toucan Sam from the Fruit Loops box, right?
Wow.
And he was so funny. Like, one time he would, like, get in the locker room. He looked at a guy that looked like Sting in the locker room and said, hey, so what'd you finish, the splash? this one wrestler was giving him a hard time, just mouthing off to him. And turns out we had, like, room together that night, right? So I'm sleeping in the other bed. And him hearing all this commotion, I'm like, what in the world's going on, right? And I looked over another part of the room, and here's Classy Roy Bass beating up the wrestler in the bed. Just smacking him and saying, yeah, you think you're tough? You think you're a fighter? You think you're a wrestler? You know, I beat your butt. You know what I mean? He's beating the crap out of him, right? And I'm losing it, right? The next morning, I wake up and he's looking, Classy Roy Bass looking in the window and says,
hey, he's laughing. Come on, buddy, watch this. So I come over there and peek through the window with him, and there's the guy he beat up. He's running around circles in the parking lot smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, what's wrong with this dude, right? And he said, I told him I put hair removal in his wrestling boots. And like, later on that night in the show, he came out barefooted because he refused to put on his boots because he was afraid that they would have hair removal.
Oh,
my God. Classic.
That's funny.
That's great.
That sounds like
a
story from the PWF.
Man.
I swear it does.
What time?
Funny.
We were in the Shoney's one time, and he fell over the floor and started gagging and said the food sucked, right? And I'll go over to help him out, right? And the waitress was like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to help him out. Can you help him out? And she's like waving her hands. I don't know what to do. And he all of a sudden sits up off the ground. He's like, I don't want to do either, but this food sucks. Oh, my God. He's hysterical. Cracked me up.
Oh, man.
Kamala's tag team partner did it one night to me. We had a tag match with Kamala and his tag partner. Looked just like Kamala, right? Like a younger version, like a mini-me Kamala. Well, I'm waiting for him to have dinner, right? And he actually comes in the restaurant with this whole wrestling gimmick, the whole Kamala deal, right? And everybody's in the restaurant just looking at him like, oh, my God, and he slaps his belly.
Wow.
You know? And speaking in tongues and everything.
Wow.
Oh, classic. Good time.
Unreal.
All right.
Yeah.
So now
never
dull
moment.
I think we've had everyone
ask two
Christmas
questions, Dr. John?
And we need another couple of questions because we have 27
please.
Minutes left. And Papa Stroh, I got to tell you this: you have been more fun than a barrel of monkeys tonight. You have been about
monkey, baby.
Now, Papa Stroh, would you before we're done, is it possible that you can redo the night before Christmas by Dusty Rhodes?
I knew that was coming.
Well, Bevan,
caught on that one. Papa Stroh, can you do that? Because that was probably the greatest thing. I mean, I've seen you do great things before,
mm-hmm.
but I've never seen you do anything that was as cool as that.
Oh, my.
Do you think you could do that once more?
Yeah, I'd probably give a few minutes to compose myself, but yeah, sure.
Okay.
We'll
one more question, and then he's gonna do the single greatest thing that he has ever done. He is going to channel Dusty Rhodes and do the night before.
I first
thought
Dr. John was drinking too much ginger ale there.
That was absolutely because he did that on Scary Cast, and it was probably the single greatest thing that this human being has ever produced in his life. So now who wants to ask him a question while he gets prepared?
Well, let him get prepared and maybe not interrupt his train of thought and stuff and let him go ahead and do that. What I'll do is actually tell a couple.
No, you can ask away. You can go ahead. I'll be doing that. I'm preparing while you ask, so go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to tell a couple stories about you, Papa Stroh. The Thanksgiving,
okay.
what, 2017? No, 2016, right? We were all over there at Nick and Jeff's, and you and Avery sitting on the couch playing video games. It's just one of my favorite. That whole evening was impressive because there was a huge Marine Corps family get together, stuff like that. We had Dr. John, we had Papa Stroh there. We're hanging out, we're doing the stuff, and it was freaking great because Gene Reamon just said, okay, this is one of Todd's friends, whatever, okay, we'll be good. And as soon as he found out, oh, my God, Gene about fell the hell out and was like, oh, my God, we got to do that. And I think I told Tim this story earlier. I had you I asked you to show the Halloween spot you guys did that was just short time-wise to be produced as a short film.
Mm-hmm.
You had done that incredible Halloween spot.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Cheryl Riemann, her mind completely blown when you show her that one.
Yeah.
That was, that whole evening was superb. And in fact, there was a Pop Culture Stars podcast that night. You and Dr. John were over here at the house in different locations within the house doing that stuff. It was a trip.
Yeah,
that was a sweetheart, too.
Such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
One of our favorite stories. Well,
absolutely.
There was a Comic-Con we did in Wilmington, your Cape Fear Con, and I just remember, you know, Papa Stroh's got Dorothy there on the table, but Avery jumped up on the table. She's sitting there cross-legged and just chatting Papa Stroh up. And, man, it was just watching you guys together. It's been awesome just, you know, being able to see some of those really unique moments of Papa Stroh.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Papa Stroh,
he was amazing.
Papa Stroh, are you prepared now to do The Night Before Christmas by Papa Stroh? Are you ready?
Yes, I am ready to do The Night Before Christmas. Give me some ginger ale, baby. All right, here we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, channeling the great Dusty Rhodes, one of the most incredible personalities in all of wrestling. Is that correct, Papa Stroh? One of the most incredible.
Whatever you say.
We're ready.
I'm with it.
Well, I think Dusty Rhodes is one of the most incredible personalities, and Papa Stroh is going to channel Dusty Rhodes, and he's going to do one of the most important moments of all of Christmas, and it happens right here on Pop Culture Stars. Papa Stroh, the floor is yours.
Okay, here's Dusty Claus reciting The Night Before Christmas. Here we go.
All right.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, baby, not even a little bitty mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there and pull a give you will, baby. The children were nestled all snug in the beds while visions of sugar plums and cheesecake, like I give Maestro years ago, danced in their heads. And Mama in the kerchief and the American dream in my cap had just settled down brains for a long winter's nap, baby. It's like a dark man,
Now, Papa Stroh, I got to stop
you. Damn it, John.
Because when you talk about Mama, you are talking about the one and only Bertha Faye.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
No,
okay.
She's listening to Dusty Claus like everybody else.
Okay. We love Bertha Faye. We love Ron Singh, who was one of the greatest female wrestlers in history. All right, please go
ahead.
Are we back
from our commercial break yet?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. All right, back to our scheduled programming. All right. When out of the lawn, there rose with a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter, baby. Away to the window I flew like a flash, like Flash Gordon, baby. Tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon, want no cheese in it, on the breast of the new fallen snow, gave a luster of midday to objects below. And I ain't much on heights either. When went to my window and I should appear, but the miniature sleigh,
kind of reindeer. The little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment, must be that man with a big booty, Think Nick. More rapid than eagles, his courses they came. He whistled and stuttered and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Prancer, now Comet Vixen, oh, Comet Cupid Vixen, and the four horsemen, that big nose Ric Flair, baby. The Nature Boy. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dance away, dance away, dance away all. And dry, leaves that before the wild hurricane slide, they met with, like a super flat Jimmy Snooker, and they met with an obstacle. Mounted the sky, so up in the housetop, the courses they flew with the sleigh full of toys. And St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing of paws of each little hoof. As I drew my head and turned around, down the chimney came with a bound, like Hollerith diving headbutt of the top rope, baby. He was dressed all in fur, on his head to his foot like the one-man gang, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot like that Kevin Sullivan, the devil, baby. A bundle of toys he had slung on his back. He looked like a peddler just opened his pack. Like that nasty terror funk, baby. His eyes, how he twinkled. His dimples, how merry. That sounded like a dream, baby. His cheeks were like roses. His nose was like a cherry. I like cherry, baby. His throat, little mouth, was drawn up like a bow, and the field of his skin was as white as snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, like Kilcock. And the smoke circled his head like a wreath, like that purple haze. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. Just like a dream, baby. Yeah. He was chubby and plump, a right little jolly old elf, like that going solely. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye, a twist of his head, soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. TCB and taking care of business. He spoke like not a word, but went straight to his work and filled with all the stockings and turned with a jerk. Baby, a sucker jerk, baby. And laying his fingers aside his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rode, baby. I wish I could do that. Living on the edge of the Latin boat, baby. The dream can do it. He sprang on the sleigh to his team came and whistle. And the way all they flew like the down of a hissle. I knew him exclaim. And he drove out of sight. Merry Christmas to all the world, baby. And do all a jolly good night.
Awesome. That's amazing.
That is incredible.
Yay.
That is the most incredible presentation of the night before Christmas ever. And Papa Stroh and Dusty Rhodes, because Dusty was with you. I want to say thank you so much.
Why they got breathing heavy?
That was incredible.
Yes,
it was. A long stop, baby.
I took all the bumps. He kept giving me the elbow.
No,
kept picking up the bump.
That's right.
That's
no
it, man. Yeah. Dream just like Boogeyman. He don't bump. I don't bump, baby.
Well, all I got to say is that was one of the most incredible interpretations of The Night Before Christmas, and it came right here on Pop Culture Stars from the one and only Papa Stroh. And I'll tell you what, Papa Stroh,
I feel like I'm back dropping for the American Dream all night now. Man, blow it up.
All I got to say is you have been the most incredible guest in the world. I want to ask you something. Will you come back and visit with us again and again and again, because we do love you. I want you to know that. We love you. Will you come back?
I love you, too. Just like the Godfather. Once again, the Godfather. No matter how they pull out, they pull me back in.
Right?
Well, you've been, you
at
are.
At your convenience, Papa Stroh. At
you
your
are,
convenience.
Oh, absolutely. You couldn't. Wild horses couldn't carry me away. Of course.
Well, thank you very much, because You know what?
Awesome.
I have known you. I have known you for 6 years, and I have called you one of the best friends I've ever had for 5 years. And all I got to say is you are one of a kind, and we love you. And so we'll be glad to have you back whenever
right.
you can come back. And,
just like Terry
and I want to
in Japan.
Forever. Forever. Stay with me, people.
Forever.
Just don't ask which one of those 6 years wasn't included as a year as your friend. The, Papa Straw, I thought I'd throw it out there. I don't know. If you're not getting fed on Christmas, you know how to get hold of me. You know you've broken bread with us before. We're going to be at Gary and Casey's, and you're more than welcome to join us. Let's reach out.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well,
that's awesome.
Well, and Papa Strove, actually, what we are going to do, what Pop Culture Stars is going to do, and I discussed this with Todd a little bit earlier today, we're all going to get together right after the first of the year, and we're going to all get together and eat and have a lot of fun, and we'll do a podcast,
awesome.
And we will have Liz,
like Mission
the Queen of Sparkle.
Like
we'll have Liz, the Queen of Sparkle, and we'll have everybody on, and we'll have Tim, and
we'll get together
have
like
Dave.
Daisy Gab and the run.
Well, no, we're gonna have a great time, and we're gonna have the Pop Culture Stars. I guess we'll call it the beginning of the new year, whatever. And Granny will be there with us. Everybody's
awesome.
Gonna be there with
be
us.
Like San Francisco.
And
hey, I don't sing no more. A flat.
We're going to have a great time. So I wanted to say thank you so much for being with us because we love you. We think you're the best.
Forever.
And I want to
love you too.
And I want to thank all of the Pop Culture Stars for being here tonight, from Tim to Dave to What's his name?
Boy,
to Todd.
Be here a while, aren't we?
You will be to everybody. And I want to thank all the Pop Culture Stars for being here, Granny and everybody. And I want to
thank
very,
you most
very,
of all, Scarecrow. I loved you, Wizard of Oz.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank every one of you for a great 2020, and we're going to have a better 2021. And I just got to thank everybody. As the producer of this show, you folks are the best people in the world, and you really are. And I want to thank every
world
single
peace
one.
And puppies too, like the beauty pageant.
Oh, be nice, Papa Stroh. Well, you're not nice because you got Dorothy, but that's okay.
I'm like the Grinch that grows on you like a fungus.
I truly love every single one of you. There's the amazing Velvet. And I want to say thank you to everybody for being here. We will be back for our beginning of the year special. And thank you so much. I truly love every one of you. Well, I think every one of you is such a special friend. And I want
to
say thank you to everyone.
Dorothy actually is.
Do what?
I didn't want to cut you off, but do I have time to ask who Dorothy actually – I get it, it's a doll, but are we talking like an adult doll, or are we talking a child doll, or what? What is Dorothy?
If you're talking adult doll, that's a different show, sir.
It's a different kind of doll.
Right. You're on the wrong podcast, okay?
It's not one of those dolls from the airplane where she's like, has to blow up the autopilot to get it to work. If you remember that thing.
I'm sorry.
That's a good question and a good answer. So we love everybody.
Hey, Dr. John, if I can, I'd like to just add, tonight is the 1 year anniversary of our epic Krampus episode from last year, where not only do we learn that Krampus likes to spank people, which is always good. Krampus spelled backwards.
Now Velvet,
is what,
Velvet feeling like he missed something.
Yeah, that definitely. Velvet definitely would have fit in with that episode. The minute the spanking got in there, he'd have been all
hyped. Exactly. Hey.
Sometimes I get a grab it, but I'll have to do the banana and raisins.
Listen, guys, I have my whips and chains ready and my assless chaps, too.
And if you misbehave, Krampus will be there to put it on your ass, too, buddy.
Yeah, Krampus to the YMCA would be amazing.
And what does Krampus spell backwards? Todd, please help me out.
Please.
Todd, where you at? Krampus spell backwards. <you know? laughs>
Wait a minute, I'm trying to look at this. I don't know.
It's not, Mark.
That's what I thought. You said that, and I was in my head.
Sup, Mark. That's right. Oh, my God, I forgot about that. Sup, Mark.
Mark.
Man, I think
I was good and inebriated at the 20-minute point of that show that night. And I'm sitting there Googling stuff on Krampus, you know. And the first pick that comes up with Krampus is this dude sitting there on a stool, and he's got this chick bent over his lap, and he's paddling her tail. And I was like, this is interesting. I might get into this show tonight.
Oh, man.
Now who needs a different podcast? Come on now.
PG-13.
For the record,
NC-17.
This is Todd.
My brother Sup Mark, he has got through his full relocation. Guys, he's got, you know, I've told you all before, you know, he's had the challenges since the motorcycle accident, stuff like that. The guy's dealing with some stuff, but he managed a complete relocation from the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area up to Northeast Ohio. And, dude, he hasn't seen snow since, 1976.
Oh, wow.
Snow. And, he's lived down in Dallas since 1976, so this is a shock for him and stuff. But I tell you what, this guy, and this is part of why I hold him in such high esteem, he dropped a major portion of his life to come back and support Mom. Props. Just saying. Big props. So,
that's great. That is absolutely great. And I want to say thank you to everybody from the Pop Culture Stars, because you guys are the best. We'll be back next week, and we'll have more fun. And I want to thank absolutely everybody. I'm going to give everybody a call as soon as we're done. And I want to say thank you. Godspeed for all of you. And thank you.
I love you,
you
all.
We'll see you
all the best. I love you guys so much.
Can I say something?
Yes, you can, Granny.
Well, you know, I've only been a part of Pop Culture Stars just for a very few short months now. But I tell you, you guys are absolutely amazing. I can be having the worst day or the worst situation going on, which I've been dealing with some pretty bad stuff the last couple of months. And, you know, you all help me. You make me smile. You make me laugh. You know, I only know you through either Facebook or through this podcast, and I'm hoping that someday I can get to meet you guys all in person, because you guys are like my family to me, you know. I mean, Todd knows this situation. I had a cousin who was living with my mom for the past year and a half. After her mom died, she moved in to help kind of my mom, because my mom's getting where she can't really take care of herself anymore. And she passed away at 5:15 yesterday. She was in the hospital, and she passed away at 5:15 yesterday. But, you know, you know, I've been dealing with situations with my son, trying to get him the help that he needs. My husband, he's probably going to be losing his job after next week, after 49 years. You know, I mean, we're going to be okay. And God's in control. You know, God's in control of all this, and I truly believe that. But from the bottom of my heart, I want to wish each and you all and your families a Merry Christmas, and I love each and every one of you all. And I just had to share that, Dr. John.
And you know, and you know what, Granny Hulkster, we love you. We love you, and we want you here every week, along with Velvet, along with Todd, along with Tim, along with Dave, along with everybody. And if I missed your name, I'm sorry.
That
because
includes you,
we
Papa
love
Bro,
all of you. And
right.
Papa, oh, and absolutely, Papa Stro, we want everybody here every week because we love you. And that's why we do this podcast. This podcast is because we love each other. So I wanted to say thank you
true.
To absolutely everybody. And next week, we're going to have Susan Green on. I'd be damned if we're not because
all right.
Velvet,
that's cool.
All right. That's awesome. We are going to have... We're going to have Susan Green on here, one of the absolutely the greatest lady wrestler of all time. Papa Stro, will you be here with us?
I'd be honored, man.
You better be
that.
Because we love Susan. We do love Susan Green, and we love you, and we love all of you. So on behalf of the pop culture stars, to everybody listening, thank you so much. And we'll see all of you, every damn one of you, next week. So thank you. We love you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Take care.
Merry
all
Christmas.
Right.
Big
call down later.
Stay safe. Take care of each other.
No negative.
Bye.
Bye.
Not all.